Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
The second half, the first goal changed all. And after we tried to keep in the match, finding one goal, but their second goal was difficult for us. And I think the second half was going the things better for them. And also, when we wanted to do something, we didn't find efficacy to score. And I think the result is like that. And they deserved also to win. We deserved maybe some more on the game, but we didn't do.
Dick, listen. Just write it down. Yeah. Write it down and put it up. We can't understand a word you're saying, mate. Please.
As Dick Emery there reporting on the Arsenal game last
Not
night.
Not a word.
No, do you know what? At least he's trying, John. It's better than you speak foreign languages. It's very slow, but at least he's trying.
Yeah.
We are now joined by Lois Langston, Chair of Arsenal Independent Supporters Association. Lois, obviously, I've seen loads of Arsenal debates since last night, and there's a lot of unhappy fans, isn't there?
There are, and can I just say, just when I thought last night couldn't get any worse, you've just also changed my sex and made me a man.
Lois, I do apologise for that. I've no idea why I called you a man, but you are obviously you are most definitely a woman, and my apologies
Thank
to you.
Thank you for the confirmation.
Well, now we got past that, Lois.
Yes.
What did you think of? I mean, it didn't start too bad.
It didn't, but you know, it's 90 minutes a match, and it was the second half capitulation, which was woeful, and is, I'm afraid, the legacy of where we've been over the last few years. This is the culmination of the stagnation that we've seen in recent years, and it came to a very unhappy head in Baku last night.
Mm. I don't know whether you heard what I was saying earlier. We had David Seaman on the show a couple of days ago, and I've had quite a few people that play for Arsenal, and I just look back at that great period of time that you had with the likes of Tony Adams and Ray Parlour and Ian Wright and all that. I know you had Patrick Vieira in it, but there was a core of British players in that team that drove that team on, and they socialised together, there were camaraderie with them, and I'm looking at this Arsenal team and there's not one character in that team.
I mean, I think first of all, it is very easy to look back with rose-tinted glasses, and the players that we have that you've just talked about, we were privileged to watch those players, and in many respects they're once in a generation players. So to that extent, I don't think we can necessarily just compare players that we have now to the past. But having said that, it's undeniable that there is an issue with our mentality in matches. Seeing how Ms. Ozil sauntered off the pitch when we're losing, that's not just a criticism being directed at Mesut Ozil. Where was someone to come over to him and push him off the pitch when we're losing and we need every single minute? So
that was disgrace. That was disgrace, by the way.
It was, but as I say, I don't just direct that at Mesut Ozil. That's the whole, all the players on the pitch. Anyone could have run over and given him a shove and said, "Get off the pitch, we're losing. Don't waste time for us." And we hear too often the sound bites after the matches, identifying what the issues are, how we need to correct it in the future. But we unfortunately don't see any implementation of that.
But what about, you've got such a great academy there that, of players. I know some of the young players there, and it's a great academy, but nobody comes through.
Well, we saw last night, I mean, we had Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who I think equipped himself well. I mean, obviously Chelsea scored 4 goals, so no one really can take a lot of credit from the defence, but he's an Arsenal boy and gets it.
Exactly. Yeah,
we saw with Alex Iwobi and Joe Willock when they came on. I mean, Joe Willock probably is more in the, what was he on for, 15 minutes than our front three did for the rest of the match. But what makes a great side is a mixture of overseas players, British core. You don't have to be a British player to get what Arsenal's all about.
No, absolutely.
Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, you know, any of those players. They lived and breathed Arsenal Football Club, and I think Phil is passionate about the club as Tony Adams, Ray Parler do. It's about getting that right mix. But Unai Emery was dealt a poor hand when he took over. Not only did he have a squad of largely average players, but they had the weak mentality to go with it. On top of that, he's faced with an absent owner who's clearly not interested in investing in the club. So, you know, there's only so much work he can do with what he's been handed. And in some respects, you could say he overachieved getting us to the final this year because the squad of players he's got are not really at the level to be competing, as we saw last night in a showpiece final.
What does he change, Lois? What has he got to do now, do you think?
Well, it's not what he needs to do. It's what he's going to be allowed to do,
yeah.
He needs to be given the backing. That squad needs wholesale change. If he's not going to be given the funds to do that, which appears unlikely, and even if he were given funds, it's hard to attract players. I'm afraid when you're in the Europa League as opposed to the Champions League, all the top players want to play in the Champions League.
Yeah.
But if he's not going to be given the funds, we've talked about some of the young players that we've got. And I think supporters would welcome the opportunity to see some of those young players being blooded more often than perhaps they have been in the past. Supporters are more tolerant when there's young players who've come through the academy. They'll be given the time. And unless they get given that opportunity, well, we'll never know whether they're going to make it or not.
That's true.
Totally.
True.
And I've been saying it. I mean, Aaron Ramsey is a great talking point. He is the player that has been there for 11 years. You know, we talk about the likes of Mark Noble being at West Ham and some of the, you know, these players that are embedded in their club. Jack Grealish at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And Aaron Ramsey was there. He was, if you like, is the only Mr. Arsenal. And, you know, Arsenal have let him go.
He's gone.
The situation with Aaron Ramsey, I find hugely distressing. How he has behaved and conducted himself in recent weeks, going there effectively as a supporter when he couldn't play in the match. He's signed for Juventus but still turned up to the match last night. You don't get many players with that approach and attitude, and I think he comes across as very genuine in his love for and commitment to Arsenal, and I think we are going to miss him enormously. If you look at our best performances this season, they've featured Aaron Ramsey. He's a big match player. But again, you know, Unai Emery at the start of the season had spoken about building his team around Aaron Ramsey. Again, it goes back to the difficult task that Unai Emery is facing. If the players that he is wanting to have at the core of his team are being taken away from him,
he can't
control that situation.
No, it's like, you know, looking at the other side of the fence. If Harry Kane went from, you just Spurs wouldn't let him go.
Well, we've got Lucas Moura. He ain't a bad substitute.
He's not a bad substitute. But what I'm saying is,
you will finish me off if we carry on talking about Spurs.
We've already come. I'm a Spurs fan, Lois. I'm sorry about that.
Just going for. I mean, look, you're probably right. You know, Unai Emery got you into the final of the Europa League, missed out on Champions League, which was a real poor run at the end when you were virtually there.
And then had a second chance and didn't get...
Yeah, and then, you know, if you'd have won that, you'd have been in the Champions League. So would you consider it a decent season or a poor season?
I don't think I'd view it as a poor season, simply because we've seen the longed-for change in management. So that in itself is progress. There have been signs of other progress, you know, in terms of our away record in the Premier League. Still not great, but it's a vast improvement on where it was last year.
Last year, yeah.
Or last season. You know, there have been matches against our top four rivals where we have improved. You know, we came from such a low point, really, in recent years that it could only go upwards. And that's not me speaking as, you know, an entitled Arsenal supporter. I know that's a criticism that's levelled at us quite frequently by the media. I think, you know, Arsenal supporters are not entitled, but we're realistic. And I think we've been pretty patient with what's gone on in recent years, when at the same time, our board still hold us out as being a big football club that's looking to compete in the Premier League and looking to compete in Europe. It's very, very easy to churn out those statements, but ultimately, you know, actions are speak louder than words.
Yeah. Well, Lois, so, I'm afraid we're going to have to go to a break now, but just before we do, I can only apologise to you if we win on Saturday.
I thought he was going to apologise for saying that it was a man.
Well, no. I apologise.
You know, I care, but actually at the moment I worry more about my team and its direction than actually what might happen on Saturday.
Oh, Lois. Listen, honestly, I really did hope that they played a bit better yesterday. Still being a Spurs fan.
Did you?
No, I did. Everyone likes to see a good game. If you like football, you like to see a good game and not see a whitewash like that. It's not nice.
No.
But listen, there's next season, Lois. There's next season.
Something to look forward
there
to.
There is indeed. And that's it. Supporters will always be there, whatever
happens.
Of course they will.
Lois Langton, thank you very much. She is the chair of Arsenal Independent Supporters Association, looking back at the final last night. We're going to go to a break.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
I love that song, Sven, Sven, Sven. That should be the new national anthem. But now these guys are on Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to Bell and Sperling. We're asking you to send us a WhatsApp, 0208 70 20 558. Yeah. Tell us about Arsenal, what they need to do.
Yeah, include your name with your views so we can read it out on air. Just add Love Sport as a contact. Drop us a message, as my friend here said, on 0208 70 20 558.
0208 70 20 558.
Thank you.
This story about John Cleese, John. Obviously, you love John Cleese.
I'm a big fan of John Cleese. But listen, I know he's...
So the story is...
He's a miserable old scroat, though.
Is he?
Yeah,
okay,
of course he is.
But what he's come out and said...
Yeah.
It's a bit of a debate now.
Yeah.
He said that London has changed so much that it doesn't... It's not like London anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't represent... there's nobody from London living in London.
Yeah.
And being in London. But to a certain extent, I will go along with that. There's also, but I think if you go to every major city in the world, it's possibly the same, isn't it?
It's just the way the world has become. It's a different world now. You know, listen, London for many, many, many years has been multicultural.
Mm.
Many, many years. I mean, I think... Even going back to like when we were in the 80s, it was becoming very multicultural then. Mm. So he should be really used to it. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about, really.
John Cleese would be now...
John Cleese, he would be in his 70s, about 76, okay. 77.
Okay. I mean, listen, times do change. The only thing I would say is nobody really talks to each other anymore.
No, well, that's social media. And with their headphones on.
Okay.
So everyone's got headphones on. Do you have headphones on?
I don't.
You don't, do you? Well, everyone has.
Yeah, but in general, I'm talking even in a shop, John, right? Mm-hmm. Even going into a shop in London.
Yeah.
There's no real conversation. Everyone's got their head down. They don't. Nobody talks. I'll give you a funny one, right? I'm on the train yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? So a seat appears a little bit further down. Ooh. Right? Okay.
Red rag to a bull.
Red rag to a bull. I'm off.
You're right? Off.
I'm on a gallop.
You see the seat.
Here I go.
Yeah.
I go through the middle, you know, where there's sort of the eight sitting opposite each other.
Are we talking about the Southwark train?
I can't remember. It was...
Well, no, you know, talking underground.
I was near Stratford.
Oh, no, you go on the underground anyway,
yeah,
didn't you?
I was near Stratford.
Carry on, yeah.
So I go through the middle. I spot it down the end.
Yes.
As I get near to it, right, it's one in, if you like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As I get near to it, the train pulls away.
Right.
Right?
So you go, wait!
I've lost my balance.
Yeah.
Boom. I've landed on this woman. I would say the woman's about 60.
Oh, dear.
Right? I've gone across her, if you like.
Soft landing, was it?
Yeah, no, I've not. I've
big
not
woman, was she?
She was a big woman. But I've not landed on her. I've sort of landed across
across
her, if you like, and I've caught the post that's the other side of her. Okay.
So you haven't really done any. Right. You haven't penetrated. If you do, pardon the expression.
What?
Well, penetrated as in hit her.
Do you want to go back?
No. You can penetrate as in
no. Ishken. You can't. No.
Like, touching.
I've get off.
What?
What I'm saying is, I've not really. I've sort of fallen on her. I've fallen
that's
like
what
my
I mean.
Shoulder has sort of landed.
Yeah.
Near
you didn't kind of right? Like
no,
land on
stop
her.
It.
I'm not going anywhere with it. It's your dirty mind.
Oh, right, okay. So, look, I've landed across her, right?
Yes.
Now, normally, if you fell over or anyone fell over, it would be funny.
Yes.
There'd be 20 people that are around you.
Yeah, laughing.
That would go, you know, or like, are you all right, mate? Or something like that.
Yeah.
I've landed and I've said, I'm so, so sorry. I really am sorry, but I'm sort of half laughing. Cause
it's funny.
She just stared at me. Not even a... weren't even an ooh or an ah or a... Oh, don't worry. Or there was nothing.
No headphones on?
No, she had no headphones on.
Just staring at
she me. Just stared at me. So I thought, well, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I looked round.
The uncomfortable silence.
Seeing all the people opposite me.
Yeah.
And I thought, surely someone's going to go, oh, you're right, mate. Nothing. 20 people just looking anywhere or doing anything.
Yeah.
But anything. Now, I just thought, oh my. So I sat down next to her, and I've still got a smile on my face. I'm looking around to other people to get a bit of a. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you get some reaction?
Some reaction.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Right?
No.
And that, for me, is London.
Yeah. Well, no, well okay. So in the film, in John Cleese's film, A Fish Called Wanda, he makes reference to that. When he's talking to Jamie Lee Curtis in the
if Jamie Lee Curtis had fallen over, that's a different story.
What now?
I would have jumped
now?
Up and helped her.
Now
I don't know. I've not seen.
I think 30 years ago. Yeah,
I said, Jamie, you all right?
I don't think now.
Oh, you know,
I think she's gone past her sell by.
I'll help you up, and I'll help you out, and I'll help you out.
Anyway, in this scene in A Fish Called Wanda, he says to Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays the American, who is American. He says to her, I'm so sick and tired of being in this country and asking someone how they are and them turning around and saying, oh, God, they lost their wife and their kids this morning in a car crash. And I think to apologise to everybody and saying sorry all the time and, you know, and everyone being... And so he was kind of saying... I mean, he was sick of London then, obviously, of England.
That's quite
basically.
A good point, actually, though.
It is a good point.
That's quite a good point.
So in America, I think, they're a lot more... Hey, see, you fell over.
Yeah.
You know, they'd laugh a little bit.
Exactly. What I'm trying to say is...
We are very, very stern.
I never got... No, but what do you mean we are very stern? These are...
No, I'm not.
Lots
you're
of
not.
Different people on that train
never
gave me one bit of...
Feedback. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know what? I should have stood up and gone, oh, my God, my leg's fallen off. Can somebody help me? There would have been nothing.
I told you, it was up me on the train the other week, sitting there in almost an empty carriage. A few girls, must have been about 16, 17, a group of them sitting up the top there.
Yeah.
I was miles away. Mm.
You're whistling. Yeah.
I was a little
which
bit.
Is annoying.
Oh, come on. How can you say that?
All right.
A little bit of whistling.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Right.
Stop whistling, please. And I didn't hear it at first.
Right. Well, I heard that.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Stop whistling, please.
Yeah.
I mean, how rude is that?
Yeah, but at least they spoke to you, John. Right? At least they... There was a bit of, you know...
It wasn't
confrontation.
Nice,
or something. Is it a bit of conversation?
Oh, I would rather she didn't.
I know, but there's no... Listen.
Give me the right arm.
I think John Cleese has got a point... There's a certain point there that I agree with him, that nobody really communicates with each other in London. And well, and if you do, and I'll tell you another thing, if you do say something to somebody, a bit like you said, if you do say something to somebody, look at you, go, what do you want?
Yeah.
Right now, there's the flip side of this.
What is
this? This morning, I'm walking along towards the station, but this is in Buckersteel.
Yeah.
And there's...
very civilised in Buckersteel.
Well, it's not particularly. I'm not saying that, but just there's three workmen standing by a van.
Oh, yeah.
I would say they're in 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
And I walked past, and as I walked towards them, one went, good morning.
Yeah.
And I went, morning, mate. And as I walked past, I thought, hang on a minute. What's he want? What's he up to? Right? So he knows something I don't. Because I was shocked that somebody said good morning
to
me.
Do you know the funny thing is, in Essex, I find people a lot more friendly.
Really?
Yeah.
Than London?
Than London, yeah.
Yes.
I think people are friendly.
And we had this conversation the other week.
Morning.
The further up north you go, more people want to talk to you.
Absolutely. Well, Dom Jolly, the comedian, he criticised Cleese's tweet and said, John Cleese is one of my comedy heroes. Suddenly, this came out of nowhere, and it's so depressing on so many levels.
Why?
He's okay.
Why can't he say what he wants?
Listen, he says he's clearly a smart, funny man, but it's basically a very racist tweet. I don't get that it's racist.
I don't agree with that.
Secondly, it's a racist tweet by a man who lives on a Caribbean island. The irony of that is insane. Even the language is insane. Who uses the word opine?
Right, okay. Let's debate.
John Cleese, because he's cleverer than you, Dom.
Right, let's debate this a little bit more, because I genuinely believe that I couldn't care less.
I don't think he's being racist.
I just want somebody to talk to me. Yeah. Right, I want to say, how you doing, mate? Right?
Yeah.
Right, you're that bloke, aren't you? And I go, what bloke? bloke was on Crime Watch.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
I expect AJ to get rid of him. And the reason why I say that is because of his height, his speed, and his athleticism. He's a world champion. Look at who he's boxed. You look at his credentials. I expect him to get rid of him. I think it'd only be through human error that he doesn't.
Johnny Nelson there speaking about the AJ fight against Ruiz this weekend. And we are now joined by Chris Williamson, writer for Boxing Monthly and Boxing Scene. Chris, would you go along with that as well, that this should be an easy one for AJ to get rid of him pretty quickly?
I don't think it'll be easy as such. I mean, Johnny Nelson obviously works for Sky, and if he's going to hype a fight up, you know, he will do. And, yeah. And if he's, you know, sometimes he's kind of been on record and, you know, he might have made something that's probably quite a one-sided fight sound a bit more interesting, you know, for the viewers and for the pay-per-view punters. But I think he's actually kind of underplaying this, to be honest. I think Joshua will get rid of him eventually, but, you know, Ruiz, his boxing skills and his speed do belie his portly appearance. That's for sure. He's a much better fighter than he looks.
Yeah.
And you know, he's never been stopped before. He pushed Joseph Parker really close in his WBO title fight a couple of years ago. That's probably his most notable match. That was in Parker's backyard, and he gave a really good account of himself there. Mm. So, you know, it's not a bad match at all, actually.
Yeah, and just looking at the different styles and stuff like that, obviously AJ is a big puncher, but we realised when he fought Klitschko that he's also still got, he's got a chin.
He has got a chin. He injured his nose in the Klitschko fight. Sorry, yeah, I was thinking Povetkin. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was at the Klitschko fight, and that was unbelievable. That was a really good version of Klitschko, you know.
Yeah.
He you know, Klitschko had been out since the Fury fight when Fury took his titles after a long reign. But the Klitschko that fought Joshua was an excellent version of him.
Yeah.
As you say, he was kind of down and virtually out in that. I think it was the fifth or sixth round. And
yeah.
Joshua sort of steadied himself and, you know, showed some real good grit and determination to kind of come back and pull it off and sort of, you know, in a really exciting manner.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit sort of a bit upsetting that this has come out, that Deontay Wilder is going to take another fight. I think that was the fight we thought, if AJ gets rid of this one, that would be the big fight before the end of the year. But it's obviously not going to happen now, is it? Mm.
it's not going to happen this year. And it's kind of boxing is kind of just repeats itself in cycles, doesn't it? I mean, I remember in the early 90s there was a similar situation with Riddick Bowe had just dethroned Evander Holyfield to become the undisputed champion.
Yeah.
And then Lennox Lewis was sort of the number one contender. He'd won an eliminator against Razor Ruddock in London. And then rather than fight Lewis, he dropped the WBC belt, which Lewis then picked up. And the two of them, obviously we didn't have social media in those days, but they were back and forth in the various boxing magazines, calling each other out and saying who was the better. And when it was finally signed in 1994, people forget that it actually was signed, Bowen Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis came unstuck against McCall. So
of course it never happened. Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
That was the first fight I ever attended in person, actually. Was it really? In 94, I'm showing my age now. But, so, you know, the worry is that happens again and one of the two comes unstuck. So, as you mentioned, Wilder has now got Ortiz lined up. Mm. Ortiz had him in all kinds of trouble when they met previously. So that's a dangerous fight. Yeah. And then if Joshua gets through Ruiz, which I do expect him to do, he's likely now to face either Usyk, the current undisputed cruiserweight champion, and that's a very dangerous fight.
Or else
the IBF mandatory Kubrat Pulev, who he was scheduled to fight, I think it was last year, and then Pulev was injured, so they lined up a replacement. But Pulev's a dangerous fighter as well. He's recently beaten Huey Fury, Tyson's cousin, convincingly. And he's been no joke. So the worry is that one of them gets knocked off before the fight happens.
Would Hearn let that happen? That Usyk would fight him.
Would what? Sorry.
Like that a cruiserweight would come up. I mean, he's a great fighter, isn't he? Would Hearn let that fight happen? Because that's such a big gamble, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a few things which point towards that happening now. One is that the WBO, which is one of the belts that Joshua holds, it's their turn in the mandatory sequence now.
Right.
So in other words, Joshua needs to go down their list, and because Usyk has his status as WBO cruiserweight champion, when he steps up, he can call for an automatic mandatory shot at the champion up there.
Okay.
So technically speaking, he gets that shot. But the other thing which points towards an Usyk fight. He signed a co-promotional deal with Matchroom, who of course have Joshua. So it's a relatively easy fight to make. If I was Joshua's advisors, I'd be honest, it's a very risky one. You know, Usyk presents all kinds of a different puzzle. Extremely skillful boxer. You know, he's excellent, as most British fans will know from his fight with Tony Bellew last year.
Tony Bellew, yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah. That's a real, you know, potential banana skin.
Didn't realise that one, yeah.
Just very quickly, he says he's brought in the services of a psychologist for the first time as a pro.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of a history with sort of psychologists, and one of the famous ones that those of us who are a bit older probably remember is when Steve Collins employed one before he fought Chris Eubank, and it really freaked Eubank out, you know, this it was kind of a quasi hypnotist actually, and Collins was kind of he played a fantastic mental
I remember
game.
That yeah well yeah. He fought Nigel Benn with that, didn't he?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. He carried on with Nigel Benn as well and beat Benn twice, but now I these days they do come into part of the training camp, you know. There's so much money sloshing around.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you?
Sloshing around,
well,
like that.
Well, it's true. My old mate that I've been mates with, Tony Sims, is in AJ's corner. I've been mates with Tony for years. And he told me years ago, I used to go and do a bit of training with him. He told me about Tyson Fury. And it was almost laughable when he told me, he said, "Oh, Mark, you've got to go and see this fella. He's about 9 foot tall and he's called Tyson." It was so funny at the time. But now, who do you think would win if Tyson Fury did get a fight with AJ?
Well, I'm same as you. You know, I heard about Fury. You know, as an amateur, he's a good amateur. He never went to the Olympics. He turned pro quite early. But I remember his debut. It was actually on the undercard of Carl Froch when he won his super middleweight title up in Nottingham. It was Fury's debut. You know, there was a little bit of hype around him, but not an awful lot. And I just remember him coming to the ring accompanied by this terrible little group of rappers called Booty Love, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
He just looked like a, you know, you would never have imagined he was going to become the world heavyweight champion.
You wouldn't, would you?
He sort of, his body wasn't, you know, his body hadn't developed. He was just this lanky sort of mess, really. But his boxing skills have really, really come on.
Yeah, bad.
You know, he's come since his comeback, probably about a year ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's come on. He's stepped up much quicker than most of us expected,
right,
to kind of go into that Deontay Wilder fight. And
yeah,
I'm sure you saw that. But most of us thought Tyson won that fairly clearly, even with those knockdowns. So
I would think so.
So Tyson is absolutely at that level.
Yeah.
The disappointing thing is that, this being boxing, of course, it kind of operates in silos depending on which TV network you're with or which promoter you're with.
Do you know what, Chris? We've got to go to a break, and it's terrible because I could talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe we get you back on next week and have a chat and have a debate about who would win out of the three of them.
Thanks a lot, Chris, for calling.
Sounds great. Good chat to you.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers,
Chris,
mate.
Williamson, writer for Boxing Monthly and Boxing Scene.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Listen, give us a call. 0208, you can WhatsApp us now. 0208 7020 558. WhatsApp us on the Love Sport phone and tell us what you think of Arsenal and where it's gone wrong for Dick Emery and what can they do to change it.
Do you remember, whenever you say WhatsApp, I always think of WhatsApp.
Well, let's do that then. It's WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp us.
Do you remember that annoyed the hell out of me? When people go, what's that? I always think of The Office. What's up? Yeah, it's great.
It was the Budweiser ad, wasn't it?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, there you go. What's up? What's up us? We're here till 1:30 on the Bell and Sperling show. Okay, so last night, they got two London teams.
Yeah.
I bet John Cleese was happy. Two London teams. Sort of going over there and going somewhere else. They go over to Azerbaijan and play the final in Baku, which is an absolute disgrace for starters.
Completely.
We had a few fans on the show yesterday saying it was quite nice there, by the way, on the Caspian Sea. It's quite a nice place.
We spoke to somebody yesterday who said that it was nice there.
Said it was nice, but it took them 18 hours to get there.
Yesterday
we had one who took
said
10 hours, okay, but he went to Doha, and then he came back. He had a few quid.
Yeah.
Right, the other people, they went on the skateboard, hot air balloon. Another fella was on
roller skates.
By the way, have you seen these in London now?
Yeah.
These people go down the road on skateboards. They're called longboards.
I have.
But they're motorised.
Yes.
Right?
And it's just,
and I thought he's not even pushed his left foot along.
It's good, isn't it?
So he's got a little thing on the side, and he presses the button.
They're good, aren't they?
Why don't you get one?
What do you want?
I think I'm going to get you one.
Why should I have one? And not you?
Because I think you'd look funnier on it than me. Just you on a longboard, skateboard. Here he comes, Johnny Sperling. Here he comes.
I've seen quite a lot of when I come to work.
He's got, what engine's he got in? He's got a two-stroke. He's got a 50cc in there. John, come back. He's gone straight over Southwark Bridge. He's ended up in the Thames. He's got water in his wheels.
Knowing me, I'd probably crash.
Oh, of course you'd crash.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I mean, you came skiing with us once.
Oh.
And you couldn't even get your boots on the right feet.
Oh, I tell you what. I mean, I can remember because Bradley, our mate Bradley Curtis, he was listening out of Brad. He took me. He went, come on, Johnny. He said, get on the back of me. He said, can I get, you know.
On the back of your skis.
On the back.
Yeah, not on the back of him. Like
not a
rucksack or something.
Well, no, you know, hold on to him.
Hold on to him, yeah. Like a backy.
Like a backy, yeah. And we went down and we started to build up a bit of pace. And oh, dear. Well, I made us crash.
Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah, because I couldn't. I didn't like the speed.
No.
So I stood there, I let up a fag and watched. Watch my boot go down the slopes.
Yeah, it's called a slope.
Yeah. Watched them go down the slope with my boot on the ski.
That's never been done before, by the way. And I've spoke to many people. I've been skiing now for 32 years. And I've spoke to many people. When your ski comes off, it will go down the mountain.
Yeah.
Everybody I've ever spoke to, even instructors, I said, have you ever seen a ski come off with the boot still on it and let go down the mountain? No. That's impossible. I said, no. I said, do you know Johnny Sperling? I said, because that happened to him.
It did.
It's virtually impossible to happen.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you're standing there in your socks.
In my socks. Well, one sock.
Yeah. Having a fag.
One boot on, one boot off. Yeah. Having a fag. And then I've crawled to the...
Hotel.
No.
No?
No, the... what's his name? I hated those things.
The gondola. The lift.
The lift. Well, they're cable cars.
Yeah.
Right. Going up, I've never been so scared in my life. Mm. It was waving from side to side. Oh, my God. I don't like it.
No.
But I'll tell you what. When I was up there on that mountain, I couldn't wait to get to the cable car.
Yeah.
To go down. To get back. So, and they stopped halfway.
Should we leave the skateboard then? Shall I not get you one?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not for you, is it?
No.
Not for me. Definitely not for me.
No, not for me. Definitely not for me.
There you go. That's my cousin Boris. So anyway, you would never have got to Azerbaijan for that game last night.
Oh, I would never have even attempted it.
No. Now, look, there's a lot of fans. Mm. That are going to the Tottenham game this week. Okay, and we're going
to
get...
Yeah, well, that's a better place to go to, isn't it?
But we're going to get quite a few fans on tomorrow. Liverpool fans and Spurs fans.
Absolutely.
But are going out there but haven't got a ticket. Okay, so they're just going out there for the atmosphere to spend with the other fans who have got tickets, and they're going to watch it in the bars in Madrid.
Yeah.
And would you do that?
No.
Would you not?
No, I want to watch it at home.
On your skateboard.
On my skateboard.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I've got a lovely big 50-inch telly in my room.
I don't know what you're going to say.
It's a 50-inch telly.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I've got it all in HD, God knows what.
Yeah.
And I'll sit there with my crisps and my sandwiches.
Oh, dear.
And just my boxer shorts. And I'll watch the football. And it's lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't travel all the way with all the Spurs fans?
No, I would not.
And,
no, thanks.
So, listen, we know some of the prices that have been bandied around for the tickets that are going. I know a few people that paid £1,000 each for tickets.
Yeah, that's about right, I suppose.
I know a couple of other people that have paid £2,000 each.
Well, funny enough, you should say that. I've just been talking to our friend Liam out there, who works at Love Sport, and he said his mum's got it. His mum's going.
His mum's going, yeah.
His mum's going.
On a skateboard.
On a skateboard.
Yeah.
And it's cost £500 all in, which isn't bad.
Yeah, I think she had a touch.
I think she did.
Because she's... a season ticket holder, and you get a certain amount of points.
Yeah.
Brownie points.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It's good.
£500 all in.
But also, we're going to get Dave Bricknell on tomorrow, who's a Spurs scout. He works within the Spurs setup.
Yeah.
And he's been a season ticket holder for 35 years.
Wow.
He only had 186 points.
Yeah.
And he needed 216.
Oh.
And he was... going mad about it.
Yeah.
But I think he's kicked up so much of a stink that they gave him some more points.
Well, my mate Russell Chopp did the same thing.
Yeah.
He did the same thing. They weren't allowing him to go because of the points thing.
Yeah.
And Russell Chopp, my friend, he's a good hustler.
Mm.
He's always been a good hustler.
And he got his ticket.
He got his ticket.
But then, of course...
Sent him an email.
Then, of course, you've got the hotels... And you've got your travel. So the travel prices went through the roof.
Yeah, of course they did. And the hotels must do.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to stay really sort of 40, 50 miles away in order, you know, to get a decent price.
Yeah.
But listen, I heard there was somebody said that some of the tickets were going for £5,000 now at this late stage. So we've got Spurs fans travelling out there.
£5,000.
Wow. Spurs fans travel. Listen, it's a once in a lifetime job.
No, it is. You think about it, though, £5,000... I mean, obviously, it's a lot of money. Of course it is. But in the scheme of things, it's not really, is it?
Well, I just figured it out. You could sell your 50-inch TV, right?
Yeah.
Have no crisps for a month.
Oh, no.
No sandwiches.
No. You don't like crisps, do you?
I don't like crisps, no. But I don't like Spurs either. So it doesn't really matter.
You don't?
Do
you? Yes, you do.
I do like Spurs. I do. But I am very torn as to who I want to win.
Are you really? Liverpool. I'm certainly not, of course, torn.
No.
But, it's Liverpool. You,
I don't mind Liverpool.
I love Liverpool, too.
I love
I love the town.
Yeah.
We've had some great times in Liverpool.
By the way, you know what we're talking about? There's not many sort of London people in London at the moment, which is what John Cleese has referenced. On the way in this morning, there was two Scouse girls sitting up to me.
Oh, yeah.
And they were about 25.
Really, yeah.
And they were sitting up to me, and I was laughing because...
They were so Scouse.
They were so Scouse, it was painful.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
I'm on my toes. I'm doing a pirouette. I'm listening to Ben and Spurnin on Love Sport. Oh, these ballet shoes are killing me.
Andy Carroll,
yeah.
We had Dom on there
from
West End TV.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he'd be pleased to see the back of Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
Because he's a bit injury prone. Andy Carroll bought Rod Stewart's house recently. About four weeks ago.
That couldn't have been cheap.
I think $5 million. I think.
$5 million.
And Rod's house, the old house in Epping that he's been trying to sell for about 3 years.
I thought that would have been worth more than that.
Well, it is, effectively. Yeah. Right? But, I mean, it's amazing. Have you not been to Rod's house?
No.
Right,
no.
Okay. So you drive in, it's got a big lake that you look down on.
It's got a football pitch.
It's got the football pitch is the best football pitch I have ever played on.
Is it really?
And we've played at Anfield.
And this is better than
Chelsea.
Anfield. Better than Anfield?
Better surface, yeah.
No.
Newcastle, West Ham, Everton.
Wow.
I think it's the best surface I've ever played on. And he's bought that, so he inherits the football pitch.
He gets the football pitch.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Tennis court, swimming pool, stables. It's all there.
It's a bit like, it's an English version of Field of Dreams, isn't it? If you build it, he will come.
Yeah.
And he built a football pitch.
And Andy Carroll turned up.
And Andy Carroll turned up, yeah.
Yeah.
Bit different.
It is a bit different.
Yeah.
But I do remember the upkeep of that house and the gardens.
What was it?
$250,000 a year.
But if you're Rod Stewart and if Andy Carroll, for that matter.
Well, if Andy's been on $100,000 a week for a long time.
I don't think it matters.
It's
$250,000 a year's back of the van money.
Back of the van, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in his pocket.
It's in his pocket.
It's hanging out of his...
Hanging out of his ponytail.
It's tied to his ponytail.
Is that what it was, like $100,000 a week?
$100,000 a week, so it's 2.5 weeks' wages. 2.5 weeks, that pays for all the garden and the upkeep.
Kicking a ball about.
Well, he weren't. That's the trouble.
No!
That's why he's going. He weren't kicking
it is incredible, though, when you kind of think about it.
He's only 30 years old.
Yeah.
Scored 34 goals in 142 appearances over 7 seasons at the club since arriving from Liverpool. Which is, you know, it's not amazing, is it?
No.
You know? And obviously they're going to get rid of Adrian. Dom from West End TV was saying what a great player he had, what a great goalkeeper he has been at West Ham. He's 32 years of age now, played 150 times in 6 years. And also getting rid of Sami Nasri, 31, made 6 appearances since joining on 31st of December 2018, which ain't great. Now, the other one is, which we should talk about, is the little fella. We did the what's his name?
Who's the little fella?
The little bloke that we did the gig in the summer. The little bloke. The little fella. We did it with John Terry. And
the other fella.
The little fella. Yeah. Let me come back to it.
Well, who was it? There's the little
name?
Fella.
What's his name? Jack Wilshere.
Jack Wilshere!
I've got Jack in front of me and I just can't remember his second name. Jack That's Wilshere. How bad it is.
Well, your memory, it's well,
no,
going, isn't
not,
it?
He's, no, the fact that he's just not played any football.
No, actually, hasn't he?
No, and that's the whole thing. That's why you sort of forget his name. It's
that was last June, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's just he's not played enough football.
Yeah.
That, you know, we sort of don't ever talk about him.
Yeah.
Listen, we're talking about Arsenal now. We've got Terry the Taxi on the line. Terry is going to sort of tell us roughly what his thoughts are with Arsenal last night.
Afternoon, chaps. How you doing?
How are you, Tel?
I've got 2 quick facts about Bell and Sperling just before we get started.
Go on.
Go on.
One, Martin Bell loved to wear cravats.
I used to. You're very, right. If you Google me, there's an interview I did in the Mail on Sunday, and I'm wearing a cravat.
Oh yeah.
But I'm about.
Well, we were talking about houses, weren't you? You were talking about Carol buying Rod Stewart's house, so that's what brought that stat to mind. And the other stat I know is Johnny's middle name is Bakary.
I remember that article with Bell with his cravat on and in his big house. And you know, in that article, the cheek of it, he says, "I saved my money, but Johnny Sperling's a spendthrift and got rid of it all."
It's a liberty, John. Isn't it? It's a liberty.
Well, it's a liberty, but it was true.
It was true. See, I only tell the truth in those articles. That was the Mail on Sunday.
That was in case. That was in case anybody walked past and saw me living on the streets. And
just to let them know
that the reason that was because I spent all my money.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're two very good facts, Tel.
Thank you for that, Tel.
Tel, being an Arsenal fan, what did you think of the performance last night, firstly?
And you sound very happy, Tel, to be honest with you.
Actually, I've just had a couple of donuts, John.
Oh.
I've been down to Bakary and had a couple of donuts.
It's always nice. Always nice in a Bakary.
I thought last night, the first half, I thought Arsenal played really well. We competed. We created a few chances. Xhaka hit the crossbar, didn't he? And we sort of limited Chelsea to opportunities. Then I think at half-time was where sort of Sarri's earned his money. I think Dick Emery, as you call him, he's been in at half-time, and I don't know what he said to the players, but Chelsea came out. They was a different team.
Joey probably did at half-time. He probably went in there and went, "Oh, you are awful, but I like you."
Well, I mean, as an Arsenal fan, it's like, I feel sorry for my mates. Like, my mate Gary went with Anders Lindpaar. Even he went to the game.
Did he?
And, Anders Lindpaar and my pal Gary went.
Wow.
And they were, like, it's, when you got legends going to support the club, that's where, like, I've got friends that went and they said, "We're going to support the club," not necessarily the players that are playing in the team.
Right.
Which I find really sad at the minute.
Yeah, that is sad.
Because, I mean, you guys were talking about, like, characters in the squad.
Yes.
I don't think there's any characters in the Arsenal squad at the minute.
Exactly.
And there definitely isn't a leader.
Tell, do you think, actually, going back to Anders Lindpaar, he was my dad's favourite player. He was a great player. But do you think that, you know, I referenced it earlier, the likes that you had of Tony Adams and Ian Wright and Ray Parlour and all these great players, you know, Merson. The sort of, you know, a real core of British players. There was one English player on the pitch last night, and I don't know whether they're fighting for their clubs. I know that we've had some people once said, "Listen, Thierry Henry will be Arsenal to the day he dies." I understand that, but he had a core of some British players around him that he could socialise with, and I don't see that at Arsenal.
No, I mean, like I just said about Anders Lindpaar travelling to Baku to watch the game. How many Arsenal players in the current squad would you say, once they leave the club, are going to come back and do a job in a coaching role? I mean, look at our best player on the pitch last night was Peter Cech.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
It's like, it's, as an Arsenal fan, it's frustrating.
Chill.
I mean, I think Emery's got to go out and he's got to go out and buy. For me, he's got to go and buy three players. If you said to me, what three players can he go and buy?
Yeah.
I'd go out and buy Harry Maguire to sort the defence out.
Would he go, though, Jack, Tell? Would he come?
I don't think so. I mean, this is me dreaming, John.
Right.
It's
good, yeah.
I'd like to sign Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish is going to give you a bit of steel. He's going to give you a bit of character.
Yes.
He's going to scream and shout at the players.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see Lyle Taylor come in. I mean, we brought a kid on last night up front. He's had two chances and not hit the target. That's okay if he's playing for a Swansea or a Crystal Palace or someone like that, but we're in a Europa Cup final,
yes,
and we're bringing on kids I've never heard of.
Yeah, but
when you've got players like Lyle Taylor at Charlton,
would you not say though that they're coming that he came on last night? They've come through the academies. They're not being given enough chance to embed themselves in the team.
But I think they should go and cut their teeth, maybe go on loan. I don't know if he's been on loan and gone and played in the Championship or First Division. Go and prove yourself there and then come and do it. I mean, how many youngsters are coming through now, like
Michael Owen or Wayne Rooney making their debuts at such a young age.
Yeah.
There's not, is there? Let's be honest. I mean, you've only got, is it Foden at Man City that's coming through?
Foden, yeah. Yeah, Phil Foden. This is the whole reason why I'm saying about it. Arsenal have a great academy. Chelsea have a great academy. And they're just... Okay, Chelsea have got Hudson-Odoi and Ruben Loftus-Cheek have now sort of squeezed into the first team. But
yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for Loftus-Cheek because he's got injured
terrible,
again, hasn't he?
Terrible. I mean, both of them to have an Achilles injury is very odd. I mean, it's quite a rare injury anyway. But I just... You know, that's a rarity that they're getting into the squads now. But I don't see that with Arsenal enough. You know, you've got good academies and you've got an array of foreign players sitting there, all on massive money, and they'll go somewhere else next year.
I mean, to be honest, I don't with regards to the wages, that doesn't bother me. If you're on £1 million a week, I don't care. As long as you come in and you work your socks off. Like Sanchez, when he was at Arsenal, he used to run himself into the ground. Like Carlos Tevez. No matter who he played for, you knew he was going to give you 110%.
Yeah.
Last night, watching Ozil, the only time I noticed him was when he came off the pitch, a sub, throwing his arms up and down in the air. It didn't affect the game at all.
Do you think, Tel, if Ramsey had been fit to play, it would have been his last game, wouldn't it?
Would have been his last game.
Do you think...
he's been our best player all season.
Yeah, but would it have been a different game, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we were getting down the wing, putting crosses in. Well, if we was missing out the first defender, we had like one player in the box. We had like either Aubameyang was in the box, surrounded by four Chelsea defenders, or Lacazette was in the box with Aubameyang crossing it. And we had one player in the box most of the time.
Yeah.
And we let Giroud go to Chelsea. I don't know if he went on a Bosman or if he went for £3, but he was one of the best players on the pitch last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I bet it is.
And it doesn't help when Tottenham are doing so well.
I'm sure.
Sarah, listen, on Monday morning, I might be coming in here tearful.
You may be in the same boat as Terry.
Bell and Sterling on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.